whenever I publicly talk about PPD, because it's something which is quite overlooked. People just say it's mood swings, but they do not realize that basically nobody is trained to see the symptoms. And generally women and our moms ourselves will tell, we also went through it. All my friends, all these 5-6 year younger girls than me, all of them during their motherhood, this is what they have faced. And I have been told many, many times that you are the only person who says that, no, it's not valid. You can go through it. You have every right to experience everything. So people just ask me, how did you get postpartum depression? You're a coach. I'm like, yeah, doctors do get diseases.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. Today is episode 3 in the series of celebrating moms on Sum of Everything. And we have today with us a very, very special guest. She is an entrepreneurship coach, a life coach, a business strategist, and someone who believes in connecting people to their own essence. And that's what the whole program that she's offering, which is called Let the Genie Out, is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Parul. Hi, Parul. I'm so glad you were able to make time for this episode today.
Hi, Aishwarya, and hi to everyone listening in. Thank you so much for inviting, and I'm glad, like, finally, I know we have been postponing it for a while.
Yeah.
Finally, we meet. So thank you for this.
I know you've been so busy with everything that you've had going on. So I'm really glad you were able to make time today for this. And I'm really grateful for that. And I think most importantly, what we're here to talk about today is the fact that moms are first and foremost women and individuals in the first place. So I think that is going to be the running theme through this entire episode. So just to start off, because I've been asking everybody this question, was motherhood ever a choice for you? Was being a mom ever something that you considered a choice?
Thank you. This is a very interesting question, especially for me. When I was 22, just fresh into a job, I had no plans of getting married, but then I wanted to have a baby. And thanks to Susmita Singh, she had shown us that it's possible to adopt a kid. So me and one of my closest friends, we would like debate for hours how to best put across our case to adopt a kid and not get married. So motherhood is something, it's something which is ingrained in me. Only recently, after meeting you folks, I have started realizing that my cousins, who were 1.5-2 years younger to me, how much of a motherly feeling I had towards them. Mm-hmm. So never that sister thing, never anything. When I reflect back how I used to be with them, that's what I see. So yeah, it was pretty much a choice for me.
Very nice. I love how you said that, because that's exactly how I feel, you know.
Yeah. And in fact, the journey to motherhood itself was very long for me. Mm-hmm. I had a kid 9 years after my marriage. Mm. And after 5 years of running everywhere, doing whatever people would tell me, to the extent that even if the totkas and stuff, when people started telling me that, I started doing that as well.
Wow.
So, yeah. And going back to adoption, because that is a question generally, it also comes to me. Mm-hmm. I went through the entire process. Only thing is so there is something in the process. And I'm saying this so that anybody who is exploring or who wants to adopt a kid, they'll get more information. So there is something called a sponsorship. Like if something happens to the adoptive parent, somebody should sign that form.
Okay.
Somebody younger or similar age group. And then after going through everything in two different cities, in Ahmedabad and in Mumbai, I couldn't find somebody to sign that because of the taboo. And people kept telling, you are so young, why do you want to do that? You keep trying. And it's difficult to make people understand, right, that Sushmita Sen influenced me.
Oh.
That was 20 or 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's very interesting because I know I recently came across a few videos of Sushmita Sen talking about her experience with adoption and how she had to convince the court to let her adopt as a single mother. And you're right, it's very discouraging, I think, to go through the entire process, and the process of adoption is not easy at all. But to go through it all, to come to a conclusion where somebody else is not willing to sign a sponsorship, you know, take up the responsibility of a sponsorship. And I can't imagine how disappointing that must have been.
Oh yeah, it was. It was really disappointing. And especially because all these people, they are close ones, near and dear ones. So, but another perspective, since we're talking about motherhood and also in general parenthood, also thinking from the child's perspective, it gave me a very eye-opening kind of a thing that if I bring a child, if people are not ready to sign, what will be the acceptance level?
Fair enough. I guess that's definitely like a thought that would need a lot of consideration before you choose to go that route.
Oh, yeah. So it's like in that case, actually having a biological child is so much easier because only the parents need to take a call. Adopting a kid is like, first you have to bring people, you have to create the village beforehand, and then you adopt a kid. Unless, of course, it's like, there are people I know, I know a lot of friends who have adopted kids, and they ultimately, there was a good ecosystem which was built in.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people, they face all these things.
Wow.
Unless the family itself is really, really accepting of it. And the worst things that I have seen is just because somebody wants to adopt, so a kid from the family is forced upon them. And then they don't even have a ownership of the kid.
Oh. So like within the family, you're adopting and...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like you are the parents, but you even aren't the parents because whatever, if you want to bring up your child in a different way,
imagine you have to check with the biological parents.
You don't have to check. They have the right to, right now, what the families interfere is still, it's only in an advice form, but there is a right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to think about. Interesting. But okay, adoption aside, you did end up having your own biological child. And you have said that you have had a lot of struggles with the child even before, but also after. And you had your own fair share of struggles with postpartum depression. Could you shed some light on that? Because I don't think the concept of PPD is talked about enough for people to know about it, for people to be aware, and for people to normalize it.
Yeah. So interesting question. And before that, okay. So being a coach, I'm very vocal about this, about any kind of mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I publicly talk about PPD, because it's something which is quite overlooked. People just say it's mood swings, but they do not realize that they are not, basically nobody is trained to see the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And generally women and our moms ourselves will tell, we also went through it. All my friends, all these 5-6 year younger girls than me, all of them during their motherhood, this is what they have faced from their mothers, from their mother-in-laws, from their sisters. And I have been told many, many times that you are the only person who says that, no, it's not valid. You can go through it. You have every right to experience everything. So people just ask me, how did you get postpartum depression? You're a coach. I'm like, yeah, doctors do get diseases. The history of the postpartum depression, when I analyzed it, it went quite bad. So when I was working when I had to go for those treatments, I was told, do not tell anybody that you are going to a doctor for infertility treatment by my bosses. Yeah. And I am willing to discuss about it, but it's like, oh, she wants a kid. The background conversations will be that. Forget
why
that,
is that a bad thing?
I am performing. Who knows? So, again, it's around 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, some things have changed a lot. But then when you go through all of that, your family expects you not to tell anybody. Everybody expects you not to tell anybody. And the worst will be that you yourself choose not to tell your family or your friends because of whatever reason, because they'll not be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that. So during last five months of my pregnancy, I had developed a cough. And then the choice was to take medicine or not. But then at night, I was not able to sleep. Mm. So the sleep cycle got completely disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the kid came along. And then again, there are so many things which are happening. There was another kid. My nephew was also in the same home. The sleep cycle kept getting disturbed. A lot of things which we don't see, that it's so much important for moms to have a good night's sleep.
Mm.
And slowly, only when I started ranting, that's when one of my friends, she's a therapist, she noticed. And then my baby noticed that, okay, I'm there. And even to that, the reaction sometimes was same thing. What is there? What's missing in your life?
Mm.
You got a baby after so much struggle. So it's like, it's not that something is missing in my life. It's like my entire, the balance of my body is gone. The hormones are all over the place. And there has been a lot of things in the back end earlier, which I've been carrying forward with me. So who knows? I mean, nobody knows why depression happens.
Right.
So postpartum depression, it is pretty much there. And in current day also, because most of the moms have to take care of themselves, and then because all nuclear families, so there is no village to take care of you.
Right.
So it's pretty common. Yeah. And if there are mood swings, it's best to meet a doctor or a therapist, or at least talk to somebody. And this is what the families have to notice. Because the person who is going through such a major change, like there is this small, tiny human first inside you and then next
then
to
outside.
You, and you are responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
You are responsible. I mean, however, if there are 10 people to take care of the child, the mother always feels, even if the mother is not told, the mother has the motherly instinct.
Right.
Right. That's why we say, fought like a tiger to stay protect the kid.
Right, right. So what advice would you give for people around the mom to look for symptoms of this?
If anything which is not normal, which you have not experienced earlier, and especially mood swings, they are very, very easy to spot.
Mm-hmm.
If the mother is feeling like crying all the time or is morose, you can see it on the face.
Mm-hmm.
If they are sitting with a blank expression, or you experience too much of mood swings and tantrum kind of a thing, if you're not used to of seeing that person throwing a tantrum, best not to say that the tantrum is because she became a mother right now. And start talking. It was bothering. Don't give advice that, okay, everybody goes through it. The best is to listen to them.
Yeah, for sure. No, okay, so I have a follow-up question. Does the emotions of the mom and what she goes through postpartum, does that inhibit the mom from forming a bond with the child?
Yes. Yes, pretty much. Sometimes. It may not be true for all moms, but there are times, at least initially, in the first 15 days to a month, many mothers, they do not feel that motherly feeling towards the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And even more than postpartum, it is a normal behavioral thing. I'm not even going into postpartum. Before that, imagine you meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And can you start loving them right away? What is the expectation? Why is there expectation that I should start loving my kid immediately? I have to exhibit those motherly feelings.
Right.
And I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends and my clients have shared this with me. In fact, some people have called me, oh, I am not feeling anything. People say you start feeling this, you start feeling that. Am I normal? Is it normal? And I mean, like, yes, it is absolutely normal.
Wow.
There are times when we feel so, like, when we are angry, we feel like, okay, our spouses, our partners, our parents, our siblings, we don't like them. That is the real term. We don't like them in that period of time. It doesn't mean we don't love them. So there is somebody who came out of your body and then suddenly, maybe, some people may need time.
Mm-hmm.
And also the pain of the delivery, whether it is through labor pain, whether it is through C-section, there is a lot going on with the mom. Just breastfeeding. It is such a difficult thing. I struggled with it for 6-7 days.
My God.
And my breasts were like hurting like anything because milk was accumulated and I did not know how to feed my child.
Mm.
And there are people who are trying to help me. But see, it's all for the first time. Right?
Right.
And every pregnancy is different. So in the second child also, it might be again for the first time for the same mother. It's not that she has had it first or earlier she has experienced. It might be totally different. So there is so much going on.
Mm.
And then the expectations are too high. And the expectations not only of the people, but of what we have been told since childhood, what we are seeing in popular culture, in movies and stories and novels, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere. If the mother is going through something and if she doesn't feed a child, if you are shown that story, the first instinct will be she is not caring for the kid. Nobody stops to think she is going through something.
That's a very important perspective you're bringing in, and it sort of leads me to my next question, which is, do you believe that there are women who are naturally more maternal than some others?
So it's not only about women who are maternal.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many men who are natural primary caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So it is more of the mother instinct in you, irrespective of your gender.
Right.
And also it is like everybody treats people differently. A very simple example. I went to my daughter is in grade one. There is something called parent hour. We have to go and do some activity with them. And she came, she was so upset at me that you did boring stuff. All parents do interesting stuff.
Mm.
So I was like, I am a coach. I wanted to give you all something which you will remember later.
Right.
And that's who I am. Right. So everybody is very different.
Right.
It has nothing to do with somebody having more motherly instinct. It can be a man also who may have that motherly instinct. So these are more of label which should not be put on people.
Okay.
Like if you just think of, I know I'll give you a very simple example because you have not experienced it.
Yes.
So you might be having 20 friends.
Yeah.
And all 20 are unique.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Same way, if you had 1 million friends, all million will be unique. There will be some overlap, but they will be unique.
Correct.
Same goes for mothers. It's, in fact, the label mother itself is okay. It's a relationship, but ultimately she's a woman. She is a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is actually in a lead up to the program that you are offering, which is letting the genie out or let the genie out. And you did mention that it was in relation to getting in touch with who you are internally.
Mm-hmm.
That is the context in which I asked, which is that in your experience with having talked to mothers and spoken to or understood their experiences, do you feel that there are, or in your experience, have you seen that there are people who are more inclined towards motherhood naturally as opposed to others who might not have that instinct in them, but they're working really hard to be the best mom they possibly can?
Oh, absolutely, yes. See, it's the same thing. So it is like in an office, there are so many people who get hired in the same batch.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of them work hard. in a home, there are five family members. They are working hard. Why I am again and again bringing it out of this labeling is because this is also something which is foisted on us. The thought process that a mother has to be motherly. What is motherly? I mean, so just an anecdote. So one of my friends knew my entire struggle on a day-to-day basis of 5 years. So she came and she just told about a friend and she said, you know what? She doesn't want to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, perfect. And my daughter was around 2 years old then. I said, very good. I'm glad that she has that clarity. And then this friend says, you know what? For the last 3-4 months, I was struggling. I didn't want to tell you because I thought you will judge. I said, who am I to judge? Mother, being a mother is my choice. Did she judge me on wanting to be a mother and sacrificing a lot for becoming a mother? So why should I judge? Now you see, if you see this perspective, this entire debate of being motherly or not being motherly, it goes out of the window.
Mm.
It's just that, okay, do I want to take responsibility of the kid? That's all. And then the same girl, she came and she had gotten married by then. And then later she came and she also said that everybody is telling me becoming a mother is important. And then I want to be a mother. I want to have a child, but I don't want to go through all that pain. I'm scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, then let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fear. Let's see where that fear comes from. And let's see if it doesn't work out, you can always adopt a kid. And then she was like, no, but nobody will expect. I accept the kid. I said that we will see about that, but let's explore this. And again, she was like, you are the only woman who has told me that my fear of pain is justified. I said, forget about a woman or anybody. Who am I to tell you that your fear of pain or your experience of pain is justified or not? If you are scared, you are scared. That's it. We can work on it. But saying that I also went through it, no. Because I cannot go through a lot of other things that people go through.
Very true.
Yeah.
In fact, I recently actually came across something that said that people who are genuinely scared of pregnancies and what that could do to their body are women who have some of the highest emotional intelligence, because they truly understand that motherhood or, you know, going through a pregnancy is going to irreversibly change their bodies, which I think is not something that everybody is conscious about. I certainly am only just starting to get conscious about just how much a pregnancy could change my body. And I think a lot of it is also sort of glazed over by society, because you don't want to bring out all that could go wrong or all that could happen to a woman when the woman is the only person who is naturally and biologically capable of bringing life into this world. So you don't want to, you know, scare them by saying that, oh, you're going to change irreversibly. You know, things are not going to work the same. You're not going to look the same. You could have or you could develop irreversible diseases, you know, in your pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing that can be done about it, to be honest, because we need you so that our line and lineage can carry on.
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, I do believe that having a conversation around it makes it much easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about what happens to the woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens to the relationships? Because some people will just come and tell, okay, when are you having a baby? When are you having a baby? When are you having a baby? Okay.
Right.
So a funny thing, but when it was early on in my career when I got married. So everybody will tell me, like my mother-in-law and my mother both will tell me, okay, I used to ask them, with this kind of a hectic lifestyle and hectic job, who is going to take care of my kid? And then they will say, okay, you give the kid to, both will say in their own way, that give the kid to me. I was like, okay, then why should I birth a baby if I have to give the baby to you?
Good point.
Right?
Why should I give birth to a child if you are going to be the one raising it?
If I give birth to a child, I will give birth to a child only if I want to be a mother.
Right.
And being a mother means, okay, at least I should have the primary responsibility of the kid. Not that I have to do it 24/7, mm-hmm. but I've been doing that. But it has to be a choice and not something else.
And that's a very important point you bring in, because I have seen that a lot of people are forced into pregnancies to bring forth a child into the world, and then they end up consciously or unconsciously resenting that child, because that child becomes, according to them, the primary reason for their inability to remain the person that they used to be.
So now I have a question to you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get this insight? Because this is something that literally nobody talks about. And I had an answer
for that.
No, I am glad you brought it, because of all the points that we have discussed, I think this is the most important, and one which even people don't even talk to me about. But I know it exists.
I wish I could tell you how I have that insight. I think a large part of it comes from listening to experiences of people around me about how they were treated by their moms growing up. So I don't think this is a recent phenomenon. I think it has gone on for some time now. And nobody, of course, will have the courage to admit it, because it's not a nice thing to admit. Right? You are told constantly by society that you have to love your child unconditionally. And unconditional love, I don't think, is something that most people are capable of. I don't know if anybody is capable of it. So if you bring a person who isn't even sure who they are when they give birth, especially young moms, women who become moms at very young ages, 19, 20, 21, whatever. When that little girl is unsure of who she is in the first place, how do you expect her to raise a child and instill the right kind of values into that child? Like, I know people are constantly saying, oh, the clock is ticking, 23, 24 is a great age to have children. When her brain isn't even completely developed, how do you expect her to raise a child?
Exactly. So not only that, the biology which we are talking of, it was the early years of human settlement,
mm-hmm.
when having more and more people to protect the tribe was important.
Mm-hmm.
When I have known of my great-grandmother's generation having like 14 kids and one survived.
Wow.
So it was just three generations,
right?
Just some 150, 200 years back. But the thing is, the way we developed in last 100, 200 years, the same way everything else did not develop, did not grow.
Mm-hmm.
If I see last 20 years, if I go back 20 years, suddenly it will all feel as magic.
Mm.
Like 10 years ago, there was a chatbot which would just talk. It had some very basic, it was like an online companion. I could say a therapist kind of a person. But it was so primitive when I have the same conversation with ChatGPT today.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so different.
Right.
So the way we are making advances in technology and science and life expectancy and everything is growing so fast. But the gender psyche, which is called the collective unconscious, it is not developing at the same rate.
Hmm.
So people are still there. Even if you see, so my mom was a double MA. Like, she could have been into any civil services anywhere. But then she had to take care of the family. She could not go for a job because that was there. Just 40 years back, it was like that. When I was born, since I have consciousness, memory, I was told that I have to go and work.
Yeah. Right?
So then I grew up considering that. So forget about everything else. If I had had a kid and I could not have had a career, I don't know. And why that question I said it's very interesting is because I've had this thought many times. I had these 9-10 years of corporate career on which I have built everything in my entrepreneurship. What if I had not had that opportunity? I know of my friends who want to be home and raise their kid, but they have to go back to work because one salary is not enough. Or they have to go just for the benefit. Or there are hundreds of things.
Right.
People will tell, no, no, you're going to miss on so much of salaries. And they are made to go back to work because they have that extended responsibility. So I have this constant question whether I might have resented as much as I cherish my child today. If I had had the same child, say, 8 years earlier, would I have resented that kid? And that's why I said it's a very interesting question. And see, for me, I don't know. It comes part of my job, right? So I keep thinking of all these situations, all these scenarios, that whether somebody is going through it. And this is a great insight that you have given, that listening to how moms treated with kids.
Yeah.
This is a perspective, and thanks for giving me this perspective because I never thought about this. But yeah, I can relate to it. When I will be very frustrated, and this may come as a shock sometimes, but I try. I don't believe in yelling. I don't believe in punishing the kid. I don't believe in any of it. But there have been instances which she reminds me of even 2 years. It happened 2 years ago, and she reminds that you did that to me, which is I yelled badly at her at two instances, and it wasn't because of her. I wasn't mad at her. I wasn't angry at her. It was just that whatever was going on around me, I was not able to deal with it. And because I could not do anything to anyone else, so then it just comes out. So it may, the resentment may simply be of the freedom gone.
It's really amazing that you bring this point out, because in the previous episode where Deepa and I were talking, she pointed out the same thing. She said that there have been times where she has been aggressive with her children, and it has always come from a place where she was dissatisfied with what was happening in her own life, and it had very little to do with the kid itself. And that sort of, it gives me a very nice segue into what I want to talk about next, which is your program, which is Guilt Free Mama. Can you talk about it a little bit? Because I feel like this program and what you intend to do with Guilt Free Mama ties in very well with what we were just talking about, which is being satisfied in your own life first.
Yeah. So interestingly, I'm an entrepreneurship coach and I'm a business strategist because my entire career, I have worked in business. And Guilt Free Mama is actually, I'm doing it for the first time as a structured offering. And how it came into existence is because over last around 10 years or so, as far back as I can go, people would reach out to me to take advice on these things. And so 2 years back, I did a dipstick survey just like that, like how people perceive me. And it is the closest circle, 30, 35, 40 people.
Right.
And there were 10 topics in which parenting I had put just for the heck of it. It was all, everything else was related to coaching and business and stuff. But just for the heck of it, I don't know why it came and I put parenting. And the highest ranking was parenting. After coaching, so coaching was first, and then parenting.
Wow.
That was how it was. And then I went back and I asked the same people, so I was more interested in the unmarried ones. They were not even married, forget about being parents. One girl said that, I wish I had a mom like you.
Wow.
And she was just 4 years younger to me. So all these people, they have been coming to me for advice around parenting, around whether to become a parent, whether they don't want to be a parent, is that all right? Stuff like that. And they've been very free to discuss everything with me. Especially, how would I know that somebody was even afraid of getting pregnant because of the pain during pregnancy? which nobody talks about. So people started asking, and off late more and more on everything related to how to talk to their spouse or their partner about they're not giving enough time or not giving enough attention around these conversations. Like what will be the responsibility, how we'll take care, whether to go back to work, whether to stay at home.
Right.
There are women who actually don't want to be out of sight for 2 years because they want to advance their careers.
Correct.
Now imagine if it is a paid CCL, everybody would advise you to actually take the CCL, right?
Yes.
So who would tell you that, okay, it is your choice? I mean, it's okay to go back to work.
Good point.
Even if you have that option. Because it's okay if you want to advance in your career. It's okay if you want to one day become director or chairman of a company.
Ooh.
Right?
No, you're right, so, because that's something I've heard from somebody else as well. And this person was a practicing lawyer in the Delhi High Court. And her experience was that when she took a break to go and, you know, have her baby, and she was out of sight for about 6 months, people started forgetting her in court, where you being visually present everywhere and in everybody's eyes matters a lot. Especially, you know, in litigation, it matters a lot. So that was her experience. I can imagine how many moms would be like, you know, my career is very important to me and I don't want to take a very long break.
And when they go and tell somebody, people are like, why? We can be at home. Or somebody wants to take that CCL. Oh no, you will be missing out on all that money.
Yeah, so there's no right thing ever. Like, there's no correct decision a woman can take ever. If you want to go back to work, then you're guilty about not being a good mom. And if you want to stay and be a good mom, then you're guilty about not being ambitious enough. So there's never a right answer.
Oh, yeah. And then another parallel is, I yelled at my kid and then I cried for next 2 hours. Actually, I called my friend because I could not stop crying, and they came and they had to spend so much time to make me stop crying. And then there are moms in public, they will give one slap to their kids and they actually don't feel anything. So which one is right? Both are right. It is a personal choice. Only thing is, some people, sometimes you yourself feel guilty because whatever has been laden on your head, or others try to make you feel guilty of not doing this or of doing this, whatever you do.
Right.
And that's where this guilt-free mama comes in, based on all those experiences. Because when I do, let's say, entrepreneurship coaching, or I mentor somebody into sales, the one thing which comes up, especially women, is this. That how to strike a balance, how to do, what to do. Is this the right time? Should I have the second kid or not? Because again, I have to go through the same cycle for another 2 years.
Right.
At least. Yeah, or at least 2 years. 2 years is your pregnancy and then your child turning around 1 year. So whether to leave in a daycare or whether to put a CCTV camera at home and hire a nanny. And then suddenly one day one horrible video from a daycare emerges, and then all mothers are like, oh my God, am I doing the right thing? How many dads actually go through the same panic?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, how many dads share this guilt with the moms?
Yeah, exactly. And this taking, let's say, if you give a choice to men of having a 6 months paternity leave and being the primary caregiver, I mean, nobody will even float the suggestion.
Interesting. I was actually talking to somebody the other day who said that they did make use of their 6 month paternity leave. And it was a revolutionary thing in their organization.
Okay. Oh, please let me know. Like, I would also search, but which organization? I really would love to know. But yeah. So see, if it is happening, it means somebody has actually seen the need. Somebody has been vocal about it. And that is, it's such a beautiful shift which is coming, because one of my friends, she had her baby just 2 months before me. And again, it was her choice. She would express milk, keep in bottles and fridge. And her husband had the night shift. And she will sleep through the night every single night.
That's fabulous.
And she was working and she was a homemaker.
But it's necessary, right? Like, think about just how exhausting it is.
What I'm saying is, I have heard people, I have heard women saying, you are going to office, so then she has only this work, right? But my God, just going to office, you get to chit-chat. I mean, even now, there are times, my daughter is 6.5 now. There are days when I cannot take a proper bath because she will be standing outside the door knocking. Even now. Yeah, and you don't know when it will stop. You never know when will it stop. I have carried her into the toilet with me for a very, very long time. Now imagine, you cannot, it's something as basic as this. And since you are alone, you have to do this. These things should be talked about more publicly, not only through certain Instagram handles and certain posts or something. Yeah, it should be talked about very, very publicly. And my Guilt-Free Mama program is really not about teaching you how to do it. You already know how to do it. It's just about teaching people to start becoming vocal, start becoming expressive. And once you start expressing things to yourself first and then to others, that's when the change starts coming in.
I think that's fabulous because you do need a platform to talk about these things, because they've been buried for too long and nobody has had the opportunity to express such important aspects of parenthood.
Oh, yeah. And not only buried deep and forgotten even by the ones who experience it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for those who are interested in participating in this Guilt-Free Mama program, how can they reach you?
Okay. So there is an Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm.
My website is coachparul.com.
Okay. Listeners, I will link both of these down in the show notes. So please do reach out to Parul if you have questions, whether it is about motherhood, whether it is about business strategy, entrepreneurship, leadership, because that's all of the different and multifaceted things that Parul does. But we are at an end to our episode. Do you have any last bits of advice?
Just listen to your heart. That's all. And that is what Let the Genie Out is all about. So genie in the bottle,
mm-hmm.
Just open the lid. That's all. That's all you have to do.
And that's how you get in touch with the essence of who you are, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Parul, for making time to speak to us and share such important insights, talk about things that people don't usually talk about, and for giving people the courage to come out and discuss these things. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, Aishwarya, for bringing in this topic and such insightful questions. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure as always.
Yes, absolutely, as always. And with that, listeners, I hope you really enjoyed this episode and I hope you took away from it. But with that, I will see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.